And today's God is the God of the Quakers. Good morning, Joe Jordan.
Good morning, David.
Joe, you are presiding clerk of the Quakers of Australia, is that right?
That's right, yes.
Wow. Now, for a group of people who aren't in the hierarchy, that sounds like a lofty title, presiding clerk.
Well, we think clerk doesn't really sound like a very lofty title.
No.
It's more as someone who feels responsible for getting things recorded properly.
That's very Quakerish of you, isn't it? Presiding clerk.
That's right.
Oh, dear. Now, tell us about the Quakers.
The Quakers began about over 350 years ago, and our founder was George Fox in England, in the north of England, during a time of great upheaval.
Yes.
It was during the Civil War, and it was a time when people were questioning the established church, and George Fox was certainly one of those. And he found out from his own experience that God was available to everyone. And we still believe that there is something of God in everyone and that we all have access to the divine, we believe to be the divine.
One of the best books I've read in years and years and years was Jeffrey Robertson's book, The Tyrannicide Brief, which is about the lawyer who's given the job of prosecuting King Charles I. And that piqued my interest in the English Civil War. And so I started reading a bit, and I came to the conclusion that we probably owe the Quakers and the other Christian radicals, we owe them more for democracy than we do perhaps even the ancient Greeks, because of this idea. Once they had the idea that there was a little bit of God in everyone, the next step, the great egalitarian movement, was obvious, because if everybody's got God inside them, then it's a great leveller, isn't it?
It is indeed.
And so all of a sudden you start thinking remarkably radical things.
Indeed. We are equal.
We are equal.
And we deserve respect equally.
Because of, people have moved on. A lot of people don't believe in God anymore. But at the time, the spark for this was this idea that God was inside everyone.
That's right.
Yeah. Who is God?
Well, we think that it's no one can say for anyone else but themselves, that it's something one finds from experience. Just as you say, well, what is love? You only know about love from your own experience. And we believe that people experience something of the divine through their own experience.
But people know that love exists because they feel it.
Mm.
And it's a commitment. It's something that we agree. I will love somebody, and I will and move through various stages of what we call love.
Mm.
But do you believe in a personal God?
I suppose it depends what you mean by that. I feel that I can be personally guided by what I understand as the divine within me. And there is a little bit of God within me, just as there is in everybody. And I feel that I can be guided and reassured and comforted by that which is divine within me.
Do you believe in a personal creator? Was there a God that made everything?
I don't believe so. But that's my personal opinion.
Okay.
I don't think I can't speak for all Quakers. There may very well be Quakers who believe just that. But I can't speak on behalf of them. And we have no creed which says that. But so I'm sorry to be difficult.
No, you're not being difficult at all. That's the thing about this particular denomination, faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
You haven't got a creed.
No.
Nobody knows what you believe.
That's true.
Except you do have some principles.
We do, yes.
And what are they?
Well, one way to remember key principles that we all do agree on is that we do try to strive for simplicity, for integrity, for peace, for equality, for earth care and community. And those are principles. And it's more a way of life than, we don't think that you can summarise all that we believe in just a few words. We feel that there are principles that we aim for, and we try and work towards those.
See, the original founder of Quakerism, Mr. Fox,
mm-hmm.
he would have believed in an individual God, wouldn't he?
I think so.
And he would have believed that Jesus Christ was his Son and the Holy Spirit. He yes. would have bought the whole Trinity, the whole box and dice, because he was an offshoot, effectively, of the Anglican
Church. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
But he questioned. And he was certainly a man who questioned and who tested things out against what he felt was right. And he did feel that he was guided by God.
Okay.
He'd preached too, and we don't do an awful lot of preaching to others these days. We don't proselytize, but we do ask people to test things out for themselves.
You don't have a preacher when you gather to worship together.
We don't have an ordained preacher or priest or minister. However, what we do say is that we gather together and in silence. So when we begin our meetings mm-hmm. for worship, we meet in silence. And it's not a silence where we just keep quiet and don't say anything. It's a silence in which we try to feel a sense of calm mm-hmm. personally and be aware of everyone who is around us. And together, it's like a meditation, but it's not a meditation because we're not alone. We're, as a group, all seeking that of God in the group as well as within ourselves. And it could be that someone feels moved to speak with an insight or an experience or something that they feel is important to them, and they will stand and speak. And we call that ministry. We minister to each other, and not just in words, because in a meeting for worship there can be words that we can share that are helpful and remind us that there is something of God in each of us and in all of us. But we also care for each other. So there's no one who has the job of looking after us pastorally. We care for each other. We look after our own finances. We meet all those sort of obligations that churches have just among ourselves.
Do you and the other members of the congregation, do you use the word congregation?
We don't usually. We just but say meeting.
The other people in the meeting. Yes. If somebody gets up to speak, do they believe that it's because a spirit has moved them to speak?
Yes.
Right. What if somebody keeps getting up? They keep thinking, no, I've got something else to say. What do you do then? Because you haven't got a hierarchy, have you, for somebody to call them out and say, look, I'm sorry, mate, you've had enough. What do you do in those circumstances?
That's true. So although
you're smiling. This has happened before, hasn't
it? Oh, yes, it's happened occasionally. It doesn't happen often, but there are traditions. So although we don't have a creed, we do have traditions.
Okay.
And one is that one speaks only once.
All right. You only get one go at it.
Yes.
Is there a time limit?
No.
So if you want to get up and you've got something to say, you've got to unload it all at once.
Well, you're respectful of others.
Right.
So I think you, and it might be a lengthy ministry. Usually it's quite short.
Yes.
Often, you know, people haven't prepared anything. They come and they're there and there might have been something that's bubbling around in their mind for a long time, but it may not have sort of been ready for speaking about until a particular moment.
What if somebody comes with notes?
That doesn't happen.
That's
a tradition. We don't have notes.
Now, our text line is open. If you've got a question for Jo Jordan, she's presiding clerk of the Quakers of Australia, known as the Religious Society of Friends. If you've got a question, you can give us a call, 1-300-222-891. The text line 0467922891. Somebody wants to know, are you allowed to dance?
Well, there are plenty of people who dance, but not necessarily during a meeting for worship.
Oh no. No. Well, you could you dance if you wanted to?
Well, we've certainly had singing happening in meeting for worship.
Right.
So someone has felt that they needed to minister through song, and that does happen.
Okay.
But I haven't seen anyone dance during a meeting for worship. No. However, I have to qualify this.
Yeah.
In Australia and in England and in many parts of America too, we are within a silent tradition, which is called an unprogrammed tradition, whereas in other parts of the world, in East Africa, in South America, and in the United States, there is a programmed tradition where dance is an accepted form of worship.
Okay. And what about outside of the meeting, just in normal life?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Has that always been the case?
No, it hasn't. I think during the 19th century, things became very strict. And then, you know, it was questioned, you know, is this really a way in which we show our love of God by not dancing, by not having art, by wearing grey all the time? Right. So that was what the practice was.
Yes.
It was very strict, but, you know, it was questioned rightly, and it no longer is the case.
Okay. Another listener asks, do Quakers follow the Bible? What role does the Bible play for the Quakers?
I think the Bible is central. Whenever we meet for worship, there's always on a little table in the centre, and we meet in a circle usually,
okay,
or some circular shape. Mm. There's a Bible on the table for reference, and it's often picked up and quoted. So I think in the lives of some friends, it's vital. In other friends, it's important. And in many friends, they don't see that it's relevant at all. So I think there's the whole range of, you know, how important the Bible is. But I think it is central because that's our beginnings, was with Quakers who found that the Bible was indeed central.
Right, but for your God, you don't have to believe in the Christian God necessarily of Mr. Fox. That is, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit.
I think we've moved on.
You've moved on.
I think, you know, this is a religion in which there's continual revelation about what is right, what is God.
See, when you talk about God, you talk about the divine within.
Yeah.
Is that just another way of saying the good bits?
It may be. It may be.
It may be.
For some, that's the divine.
So it's not a force that created the universe, a force that is guiding mankind or the destiny of the universe. It's the good bit.
Yep. That's how I see it, but it may not be how everyone sees it.
Because somebody else sitting next to you in the meeting, they might have a very different view of God.
Yes.
And that's all... You're such a broad, for want of a better word, of such a broad church,
yes,
that you can have this...
Yep, we can.
...huge spectrum of views.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody wants to know... Well, you might be getting some recruits. Are there any Quaker groups that meet in the suburbs?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We have several. One in the southern suburbs, one in the eastern suburbs. I'm not sure if there's anyone in the northern suburbs now, but there's... Yes, we do. We're not very numerous. There's just small groups of us. There is a meeting house which you've heard about earlier today. Yeah. Drew was talking about the meeting house in North Adelaide, right next to St Peter's Cathedral.
Which predates the cathedral.
It does indeed.
Yes. Not that you would take any pride in that. We wouldn't want any proud Quakers.
It's very small, it's very modest, it's very simple, but it's very beautiful.
You're not taking pride in your modesty, are you?
We are.
You are. Andy's called from Largs Bay. Hello, Andy.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, very interesting discussion. I'd like to ask briefly about minimalistic furniture design and the sort of lack of clutter and stuff in lots of other institutions.
That's right. That's quite true. You'll find in the meeting house there are just benches. Just benches. Oh. There's nothing, no ornaments on the wall. There's no ornamentation. There's no sacred objects. It's just a very simple and some would say a very bare looking building and structure. But as soon as people meet for worship, it's full of life. So the focus is on the people within, not on any objects.
Andy, thank you for your call. When Quakerism began, and this is in the turbulent times of the English Civil War, and I read once that in terms of percentage, as many people died in the English Civil War as died in the Great War, in terms of Britain. Britain's casualties in the English Civil War were in percentage terms as great as they were during the First World War.
I didn't know that.
It was an enormous conflict, and we've forgotten it.
Yes.
We've forgotten it. Okay, so when all of this is developing, there would have been a real prejudice, I imagine, within the Quaker movement against popery and ornate churches and the priests and the whole kit and caboodle. Is that angst towards finery and liturgy and a priesthood. Is that angst still there, or are people thinking, well, no, if that's your bag, you can have it, we've got something different?
I think that's how they see it.
Yeah.
I think there's an acceptance that we all find our ways to God in different ways.
Okay.
Different paths, if you like. But I think, you know, the way that we meet as Quakers is not everybody's choice. It asks quite a lot of us to change your way of life, to sort of aim for the principles that we aim for. And for others, they find that music and vestments and ornamentation and beautiful surroundings are necessary. So, no, I don't think that there's any angst at all. It's just a feeling of acceptance that we all are aiming for the same thing.
Deb asks, if the Quakers follow the Bible, do they have Easter and Christmas?
Yes and no. We tend to think of no days as being particularly sacred, that all days are sacred.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have big celebrations at Christmas or particular services or anything of that kind. We would meet in just the normal way. However, many of us still follow, you know, traditions of Christmas.
Another person asks, so is Quakerism classified as Christian?
That's a good question. And some would say, no, it's not. And others would say, yes, it certainly is. So there's disagreement.
So Mr. Fox would certainly have thought,
he would have thought, yes, as
a Christian.
Certainly he would.
Right, okay. Another person, are you baptised into the faith? Do you have a practice of baptism?
We don't have sacraments in the normal sense of the word. We feel that the sacrament that we would recognise is an acceptance, this sort of acknowledgement that there is a God within and a God within all people. That experience and acceptance of that fact is like a personal baptism.
Right.
But we don't have any outward, you know, signs with water or any other vessels that this has happened. It's an internal thing that happens.
Internal thing. Funerals, how are they conducted, asks one listener.
We tend to have meetings, memorial meetings. There could be a funeral where there is a body present, or we would have a memorial meeting afterwards, after perhaps a cremation or burial, private cremation or burial. They certainly do happen, yes.
Okay. We'll give the last word to Jeff from Cumberland Park. He says, the Quakers have one of the best op shops in Adelaide.
That's quite true.
Is it?
It's on Kensington Road.
I detect more pride in these Quakers.
It's a fantastic op shop. Please visit it. It's very modest. It's very small, but my gosh, it's good. And people serve with love. It is wonderful.
And that's on Kensington Road.
Yes, it is.
And you've been going 50 years.
Yes. Op shop celebrated its 50th anniversary this year, only last month.
Oh, Joe, well, thank you very much for coming in.
It's been a pleasure.